Thank you, Holly, for those kind words. I'm not sure they, if I can see it really in the same way, but thank you for that word. Yeah, when I was asked to do this, to speak here as a closer speaker, my sponsor said, hey, that's a spiritual speaker, and there I had some problem with it because I have difficulty in seeing myself as being a spiritual person, especially where I came from. It's completely out there, but I talked to some people, of course my sponsor as well, and somebody else, and they told me to read the spiritual experiences in the big book, but it is explained what it is, and having a spiritual experience or awakening is that brings about not sufficient change of personality to bring about sobriety, and I guess that's it. I mean, I can call myself sober now for almost 5 years. I've been my date is October 5th, 2011, and my life is changed in every way. And how did it come about? My home group is Monday night, and I did come in on that evening. You were the chair, and a lot of people who are still also in this room are here, and that's what I find very nice to have. But it wasn't all that easy, and to say it came natural to me is far from the truth in my opinion, but that's not the point here. To me, the alcoholism was the disease of denial, and it means for me, don't even know I'm lying. And on the last Sunday before I did check in the clinic, I had subject to an intervention by my sister, uncle, and a good friend. And they said, do something about your drinking, or your partner, Miriam, is going to walk out of here with your children. And I just let them, because they were interfering with my drinking anyhow. And I didn't see the problem. And through after a few days of letting them wander from friend to friend, and for me some undisturbed continuous drinking, I did check in the clinic, and not because I had a problem. It was just pure damage control on my side, or manipulative action, I don't know how you want to call it. And at that time, I did see I was emotionally bankrupt. All I had left was anger. Spiritually bankrupt, I like to say that, but in order to go bankrupt, you have to have something first. And I can't say I lost any spirituality. So. Because I really had nothing. I had nothing. So, I mean, I have no religious background or spiritual upbringing in that kind of thing. So, I had nothing. I was a black hole on that part. But in that clinic, I did hit my bottom, and it was especially through my children. I lost my father when I was three, and I didn't think I'd miss him. But when I became a father myself, that was the most important thing in my life. For the first time, I wanted to live and had to be there for my children. And what happened in the next 10 years, so far from what I really thought I was or wanted to be, and I believed that I was a father of the year every day. And on that day in the clinic, I learned they were afraid of me. They were physically afraid of me. Either I was going to hit them, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know that I was a psycho dad. And on the question I got was, one of the reasons I thought I was a great father. I never hit them or abused them in any way. But I was angry enough to have hit them. I asked it, God created that question, how far away were you from that point? And if I honestly had to look at myself, I was way past that point. they were lucky, were I. And I am grateful. I was too drunk to be able to hit them. They were too fast. But I do remember I was angry enough. And on the last few days of my my daughter had gotten the question from a friend. She was by the time was nine. Which parents do you like better, yours or mine? And that was based on who they saw. And that was me. And I thought I was Father of the Year. Yeah. Not sure that he planned for this, but okay. And the last stage of my drinking, one of the biggest lies I told myself was, I get up in the morning because of my children. I want to be there for them. But the real reason was I got up and wanted to drink. I started to drink at the moment my partner left for work and my children went to school. It was about 8:30 and I felt good at that time. By the time it was 12:01, I got irritated, annoyed. And by the time it was 3, I had to pick him up. I was angry. And I didn't even bother, later on I didn't even bother picking them up, I just let them come home. Yeah, they didn't bring any friends anymore, which was fine by me, and I thought I was a good father. That's for me is denial. And I knew I had to do something about it, and I was sent to South Africa for a second treatment, and I was there in the clinic for 111 days or so, and I needed every day of that. And when I came back, I was lucky enough to have been introduced to AA already, to go to the first 50 meetings or something like that. Maybe that's a lie, some of the people who were there may have been 40. But I got, and I also got used to working with a sponsor, a temporary sponsor, which brought me great results in that time. So when I came back, and it was on a Monday night, and I knew I had to go to meeting, and that was when I walked in the Monday night meeting, and I met you all. But yeah, then I also started to work with a sponsor here, and there were a couple of things I wanted to say about that as well. In taking the second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, is I could see that alcohol was my higher power, and my thoughts were, yeah, that's easy, I just take away the alcohol and put something else in it. And I used my sponsor for that, I guess. And yeah, because I knew one thing, I couldn't trust myself, because everything I did turned out to be a lie. I had great difficulty in just being honest about anything. Whatever question you asked me, I gave an answer. And if I thought about it 5 minutes later, I thought, that's a damn lie, again. So I didn't trust myself, and I used my sponsor. That's okay. I can raise my voice, if it's okay. I won't get angry. Okay. And I also saw that alcohol wasn't my real problem, it was my mind. I saw the insanity. I took that first for granted. That were the stupid things I did while being drunk. And that's not the case. The things I did while being drunk were actually normal for a person who was as drunk as I was. It was the insanity was in the things I told myself and did while being perfectly sober or not under the influence of any substance. That's where my insanity was. So I used my sponsor for that. And we started to work on the step 3, and that was a difficult one for me. The part about God, higher power. My sponsor used to tell me a lot about riding the third step train. You can take the third step train for as far as you want, and you can get off at any time and any time you want. And if you're on it, you're doing God's will and you're fine. And if you get off, you go back to your own will. And I could see that, but I had no clue how to get on the train. I mean, if you don't know where the station is, that's a difficult thing. So that was one thing. And between doubt, I'm a professional doubter of anything, and I also question constantly, have I done the third step? Because my sponsor kept asking me, what about your third step? And I said, shit, I don't know. and in the 11th step prayer, it says, which I wasn't way far away from, but later on I learned that Where there is doubt, may I bring faith. But between doubt and faith, well, there are a few stops. More than one, I can tell you. And I got off at every one of them, and I'm not sure which station I'm at, and that's the good part. But in his infinite wisdom, because he wasn't getting anywhere with me, he put on his former sponsor on my path. And in his own words, who is on the other spectrum of AA on the third step? My sponsor, it's especially doing God's will, and the other person, his sponsor, just focuses on the decision. It's the decision, you make a decision, and for me that was more practical. And he asked me, do you want to quit AA? No. Well, okay, then go on, move on. It's through working steps 4 to 9, you turn your will and life over. I thought I was breathing, but it's okay. Oh, it's you.
I didn't do anything.
No, we heard you breathe.
Oh, he was on mute as well.
Well, thank you. I didn't even make that. It doesn't make me any more comfortable at all. I did see there's a big difference in those two fields, and I benefited from it. And whenever I talked to my sponsor, and he said, go talk to him. And when I came back, he said, wow, you sound a lot like him. both of them never imposed their ideas on me. It's just take what you want. And I mean, I had a pretty broad practice. I could take whatever I wanted. And it worked for me. But my sponsor also gave me, for me, which was an eye-opener. He'd never bought me any eyeliner. But I must have worn it in during drunk times. So yeah. The eye-opener was, how does God want you to react in this situation? And when I heard that sentence, I thought, yeah, that's something I can work with. I think of myself as being pretty practical, and I could do that. I could even play God again. How does God want you to react in this situation? But the first time that really worked for me was when I was brought my daughter, who had to get some shots for a vaccination, and we went there, and there was a big line, and I forgot the papers. So I told my daughter, hey, you send you in the line, and by the time I get back, you'll be in front, it's okay. And by the time I got back, the line was bigger, and she was at the back of the line. And I got angry. I said, shit. I thought that those kind of words, and I was angry. And I made her feel that way. And as the line, when we were close to the end of the line, there was a power failure. Lights went out. And I really lost it at that time. And I really wanted to tell her what I thought of her stupid action. And then the line hit me, how does God want you to react in this situation? And I looked at her, and I saw a girl. Scared. I don't know where that came from, but the words that came out of my mouth were not. Wasn't it stupid I forgot those papers? Those were my words. And the situation changed immediately. I lost my anger instantly, and she could be there. Even smiling at. Also a miracle. The lights went on and we got her shots, and right after she had her shots, the lights went out again. And then they stopped the vaccination. But that's on the other. But that was proof to me. For me that was But yeah, that's That's one thing. I'm always look for practical things, and this was one I really could see the benefits of, and I've used it many times. And although it's a pinch hitter, but it does get me on the third step train. Okay, and now I want to talk to her about how I worked step 4 and 5, which I, as my sponsor told me, these are the most important things in your life right now, so I had to work on it every day in entry, not an whole hour or something, but just a short thing. And me being a good sponsor, I said I did, and I wasn't a good sponsor, but I had already written the 4 steps, so I thought I could drag along. But there also it was in working those things and in going through your mind those moments emotionally, those were beneficial to me, because then I actually felt, and I got to meet myself for the first time, facing who I was, and it turns out I was a little boy who was running around with a wooden sword and a shield and paper hat. Hey, I can do it all by myself. That was me. Yeah, I was scared of everything. And that was a huge relief, actually, to find out that a lot of things I don't have to lie about anymore. Those are also the benefits. But and the things I did weren't that bad. There were other people who had done it also. And I had no self-esteem or self-worth, and I hated myself in those days. Yeah. And now I'm kind of fond of myself, so that's a huge progress. And by the time I get to, 30 years or something like that, maybe I love myself, but that's all in God's time. And the fears I had were especially also based on whatever threatens my masculinity. Could be anything. Even it could be anything. And my fear of being not good enough, inadequate, as whatever. Those were my basic fears. And by admitting them, that felt good, and I got something out of it. So that was for me also a very important step. And in working this step 6 and 7. I was confronted by those fears, especially, and one of the biggest ones I never saw coming was my fear of intimacy. I've been with my partner for 20 years, even now a bit longer, but at that time. And I had no way of connecting on an emotional basis with her level at all. And she was crying on the bed. And I sensed I could comfort her, just putting an arm around her, but that's every fiber in my being said, get the hell away from here. I want to get out. I don't want to deal with it. I can't deal with it. That's scary. And as you said, staggering along in diapers, my sponsor used the words, baby steps, Marco, baby steps. And he said, just start by grabbing her hand while you sit on the couch. That's easy. It's so far from what I couldn't do that. And that is somebody I've been with for 20 years. I can't grab a hand. Too scared. And those things, but they do help. Those small things. Grab her. Think about things. With my children, it was also difficult, but less difficult for some reason, probably because I was emotionally even younger than they were. And that felt more familiar to me. I mean, that's, but yeah, you can laugh about it, but emotionally I was a toddler, and I could see I was a parent. I wasn't trying to teach them anything. Yeah, but they had to do my way. I was the bully. And that's, but it becomes easier for my children. It was easier for my partner. There had to be work on, and it was also a nice moment when, with my mother, who suffered from Alzheimer, I had to take her to an eye doctor, and we had to sit there in the waiting room and having a normal comfort, normal, okay, that's a bit out there, but having a conversation with my mother was difficult. As I sat there, the light came and goes, just grab her hand, and I held her hand. And we sat there for, I don't know how long, but we really connected. On the way, that was not possible in any other way. Verbally, it wasn't possible. That's nice, yeah. I don't know where this comes from, but yeah, it's I shouldn't have brought this up because it's not on my paper. That's I was talking about it, but it's, I shouldn't have brought this up. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's, yeah. And if it's all about, yeah, being humble, as it says in the seventh step, I also had no clue how to do that, or still don't, but there was also, I got a practical definition from someone, remain or become, in my case, become teachable. And that means admitting you don't know it. And that's easy, that's easy. That at least, it became easier. If I remain or become teachable, and be willing to listen to others. And one of the things I did get rid of is I absolutely had a need to know. I needed to know how things work, this program. So in the beginning I was just gathering information about the program, how their history and this stuff. I know a lot. The thing I learned is the more I learn, the less I know about before. And those things, my mind is more open than it was. And that, those are things I couldn't have done myself. And while I'm talking about it, I even amaze myself still. I can call myself a puppy in the program because I learn so much on a daily basis. Even yeah, and that's progress, not perfection. It's that's nice. And I won't go into step 8, 9, or 10. I just want to talk to you about a little bit more about step 11, and that's the step where I'm at right now, where I need to be improving. Yeah, through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand Him. And there have been, I know that also the real gift of this program is the relationship with God, with my higher power. That's the real relation, that's the real gift. And that gift is wrapped in having a new job, better relationship, being a better father, a great, better relationship with your children, everything else. Those are the wrappings. And I'm playing with those wrappings and I'm happy with it. I have no clue where the real gift is. It's somewhere in there. But I'm aware of it. I'm aware that I'm playing with the wrappings, knowing that there's another gift, but I can't find it at the moment. And that's okay, but I will find it somehow, somewhere. And in prayer and meditation, there's also been a lot of change. In the beginning, I thought meditation was just a nice and easy way to relax, fall asleep, and stuff like that. And that's not the way how it was supposed to be, but it started on in South Africa on the beach every morning, sitting for 10 minutes, sitting on the dunes, watching over the sea at the Tafelberg, and the seals playing in the ocean. So that's a nice way of starting your morning, and you don't have to, and you think about your connection with God. Yeah, right. And now it is from, okay, I even started meditating with my partner at night, just listening to things, and that's a way of connecting. Now I'm able to hold her hand in bed. It's ridiculous, but those things work. And I need a sponsor for that, so it's and it's those things, and that's and prayer. I've also noticed a big change in the last year. I came up my mother passed away, and it was she had a stroke on a Saturday morning, and it was obvious to us that she wasn't going to get better at that moment. So, what do you want for? And then I started
sorry,
to pray.
Excuse me.
No problem. And then I start to think of, what do I really want for my mother? And in all my prayers, I found out, were selfish. I wanted her, yeah. And I couldn't, and that's what I had trouble with. And it was very nice. And the first day the whole family was there, and it was great. And it took a bit longer. And somewhere on a Sunday, we were standing in a room, it was filled, we were pretty crowded, and suddenly I had the thought, who wants to go light a candle in the church next door? That's also something so far away from what I normally do. And both my children went, and so a few others. And we were sitting in church, and for me it was a statue, and my daughter was sitting behind me, and suddenly she said, Dad, what are we doing here? And I said, we're praying for your grandmother. You can ask for anything you want for her or for yourself in that way. I said, okay. She went back and she came, Dad, how do you do that? And I said, yeah, you can ask a prayer, you can say a prayer. And then I saw a book on the side and said, or you can write down whatever you want and ask for it. And she did. And I was sitting there, for mother, what the hell am I doing here? And I also went to that book and I wrote a prayer, and that was, God, show me the way, help me, take care of my mother. And that was so easy when I wrote it down, but I couldn't figure it out for myself. And yeah, take care of my mother, and within an hour my mother had passed among loved ones away. So it was, at that moment I felt no pain, no tears. I was actually relieved and it felt good. So, but it is also from in, show me the way, help me, I don't know what to do. And giving up, that's where my problem is, and also where my answer is. But I continue to do it my way for as long as I can. It's stupid, even I know that. I know that for, it's like in the promises that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. I see that. But on most days, I'm not able or willing to give him the credits for it. I go my own way, get off the third step train, yes. this is where I need to be. Improve my conscious contact with God, and that's where I want to be. And yeah, I want to close with a story from my youngest daughter, who thinks, by the way, I'm cured. By that definition, I'm more sick than ever. But she had an appointment with a consultation with a school doctor, and this daughter is the same who had the question, which parents do you like better, yours or mine? And she told the school doctor, hey, my father's an alcoholic, and she told some of the horrendous things I did. And the school doctor asked her, wow, that's terrible. Do you have somebody you can talk to about these things? And she said, yes, my father. That's God working in my life, I guess. With it, I would like to close. Thank you. I hope it has been a nice experience for you.